السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
آمين وإياكم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, we like to continue our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. This book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, just by way of bringing a reminder, it's a book that has been deliberately compiled by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, separate from his work in As-Sahih that he has compiled regarding Al-Adab, the manners of the Muslim and his morals. What are those things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and his companions and those after them, what have they left for us as lines of conduct regarding the manners of a Muslim, regarding the conduct of a Muslim, regarding how a Muslim deals and relates with the rest of the people. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, he has started by mentioning the individual's dealings with his parents. What and how should you relate with your parents? And then he came to the issues regarding our relatives. How are we supposed to relate with our relatives as Muslims? Then he came to the issues regarding our children. How are we supposed to relate with our children as Muslims? Then he came on to other issues, rahimahullah, by way of teaching us what are the manners that are required of a Muslim. How does a Muslim relate? How does he deal with the people in his affairs? The last section we came to before what we are upon were our dealings with our neighbors. He mentioned how we should relate with our neighbors, rahimahullah, and I think we all took lessons from that. In the last 2 to 3 weeks, we have been upon the discussions about orphans, al-yatama or al-yatim or al-aitam. These are the people that our discussions have been upon since the last 2 to 3 weeks. The last class we had yesterday was about the virtue of still being kind to the yatama, al-aitam, the orphans. And we ended with a tremendously important hadith, the author of Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, Abu Abdurrahman. That made our last reading yesterday. That hadith occurs on the hadith number 136, in which Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported with his isnad that ended with Abu Bakr ibn Hafs. Abu Bakr ibn Hafs, we mentioned to us, his name is Abdullah ibn Hafs. Abu Bakr ibn Hafs, his name is Abdullah ibn Hafs, and he is the great grandchild of the eminent companion Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Hafs said that Abdullah ibn Umar, لا يأكل طعاما, he will not partake in a meal, إلا وعلى خوانه يتيم, unless you have on his table spread or on his dining, wherever he was going to take the meal. We mentioned that خوان refers to what you place the meal on. you want to take a meal, you place the khiwan upon it. That's whatever, maybe a flat surface upon which you place the meal for your food for the day is referred to as khiwan. Abdullah ibn Umar would not sit to eat on the khiwan, except he had one of the participants in that meal being a yatim, being an orphan. Radiallahu anhu. This goes to make us understand how our Salaf, rahimahumullah, paid attention to the yatama, the orphans. In Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a similar affair, even though not from the shurut of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. But by way of giving an illustration in As-Sahih, where Nafir, the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar, who was in his company for over 15 years, Nafir was the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar. He was the most learned person amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Umar. He was in the company of Abdullah ibn Umar for 15 years and over, Nafir. And that's one of the teachers of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, in Medina. Nafi said, radiyallahu anhu, that كان ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما لا يأكل حتى يؤتى بمسكين يأكل معه. كان ابن عمر, that Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما لا يأكل حتى يؤتى بمسكين يأكل معه. Abdullah ibn Umar will not partake in a meal. He will not eat any food. Hatta yu'ta bi miskinin ya'kulu ma'ahu. Until a miskin, someone who does not have. You will see it is in the meaning of this asar that we have read in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that he will not partake in a meal until someone in the position of need or someone who is an orphan was brought on the same table. This has a lot of meanings and of course a lot of rewards. From the meaning of that is that your children will see how humble you are when you relate to the needy. If you eat with someone who is in need, if you eat with an orphan, you are teaching your children how to relate with an orphan or how to relate with the people we will sometimes refer to as the less privileged in the society, the needy. Your children will see how you relate to them. Not just that. If you take to this kind of a character, you as an individual, you will gain some sort of a humility. You will know that what you are eating is not because you are stronger or healthier or more intelligent. Allah has just provided you that favor over the other person. So it's a means of gaining humility when we eat with the people. How about some of us who can't even partake in a meal with someone? He's your colleague in the office, but because perhaps you think that you studied in the best universities in the world, that is the reason why you cannot eat with your brother. He's not a needy. He's not from amongst the needy at all. You cannot classify your brother as from the needy. You cannot classify him in that category. Yet, your arrogance, your self-importance and pride does not allow you to think that you can partake in a meal with the rest of the Muslims. And then we come back to say, I'm Salafi, following the early Muslims upon their lines of conduct. Here are the lines of conduct of the early Muslims. They were people of humility when they partook in a meal. As we have read of Abdullah ibn Umar, he brought someone who is in the class of the needy, or he brought someone who is an orphan to the table to partake in the meal with him. And of course, it showed how they paid attention to the verses of the Quran. When Allah says, وَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ, as for the orphan, don't send him away. They do not only send them away, say, bring them clothes. They eat the same food with them, on the same table with them. This will go a long way to uplift the morale, definitely, of that orphan. The orphan will feel honored. The orphan will feel well taken care of. The orphan will feel compassion when we do and partake in meals like this. Many of us, self-pride, arrogance, nonchalance, some of these or all of these put together does not make us see ourselves as people who can do this with the rest of the Muslims. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us and make it easy for us to return to this great path of humility and tremendous rewards in the hereafter. The next bab we will be reading, inshallah, in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. That comes under hadith number 137. Is Babun khayru baytin baytun fihi yatimun yuhsanu ilayh. Babun khayru baytin baytun fihi yatimun yuhsanu ilayh. The chapter regarding the fact that khayru baytin baytun. Khayru baytin, the best of the houses, the best of the household, is what baytun fihi yatim yuhsanu ilayh, is the home that has the yatim that is well treated. It is not just that there is yatim in that home. That there is yatim in that home is one virtue. But that yatim yuhsanu ilayh, the people in the home are compassionate. They are nice in their treatment of the yatim. The best of the homes are those homes in which there are yatama, there are orphans that are well treated. Some homes may have orphans, and these orphans will be treated badly. In fact, the orphans may be children from that family. Maybe a man takes the children of his brother who passes away when these children were still orphans. He will bring them to the house. And then the wife of this man will treat such children so badly. The wife of the man will treat the children so badly. Why? She will think and say that they are not her children. That is the reason why she will treat them badly. This is not the person we are talking about. We are talking about such women, such men who, when orphans live under them, the children of relatives who are orphans, or the needy that they have chosen to keep inside the house, they give them nice treatment. These are the best of homes. Under this chapter heading, Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, rahimahullah, in this chapter heading, khayru baytin baytun fihi yatimun yuhsan ilayhi. The best of homes are those homes that have orphans. Yuhsan ilayhim. The people are treating them well. Of course, if in every Muslim home people observe salah, in every Muslim home there is adhkar in the morning, every child, every woman, every son is made to pay attention to the adhkar in the morning, adhkar in the evening, and perhaps there are lessons that go on. In the home we have perhaps Riyadu Salihin, for example. We read Riyadu Salihin every morning, or Al-Arba'un Nawawiya every morning, or Kitabu Tawheed every morning, by way of giving reminders at home. This is a standard Muslim home. At least before we go out of the home, there is some sort of a sermon for the entirety of the home. And then we go for our normal business. Children go to school, parents face their daily routines. And then the people in the home observe daily salah. And then people in the home eat the food, partake in the breakfast, the lunch, dinner, and all of these. If this is the standard Muslim home, but there's a second Muslim home that also does all these things, but has the yatim inside it. Of course, the rewards of taking care of the yatim shows that the second home, home B, is better than home A, ceteris paribus. All things being equal, the home B that has the yatim inside it, the head of the home taking care of the yatim, the woman of the home taking care of the yatim, they become rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They become prevented from people, from those who will come in the hellfire on the day of Qiyamah. They gain the rewards of Mujahidun, as we read at the beginning of this chapter. Because the one who takes care of the yatim he gets the reward of Mujahid, he gets the reward of the person who fasts and does not get tired of fasting. He gets the reward of the one who performs Qiyamul Layl and does not get tired of observing Qiyamul Layl. So all these beautiful rewards are accrued for those people in home B in our illustration, where every other thing is also in home A, But in home A, there is no orphan. In home B, there is orphan, and the orphan is taken care of. This is what Al-Imam al-Bukhari refers to. That ceteris paribus, all things being equal, one home has yatim, the other home does not have yatim. The home that has a yatim is better than the home without a yatim. This is what he says in this chapter heading when he said, خَيْرُ بَيْتٍ بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُحْسَنْ إِلَيْهِ. The best of the homes are those homes, فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ, that have the orphans, يُحْسَنْ إِلَيْهِ. Not just that these orphans are in those homes, they treat these orphans. These orphans are giving good treatment, they are giving good dealings, they are showing compassion and kindness in that home. That home in which the kindness and compassion and good treatment is shown to the orphan is better than the home that has no orphan. May Allah protect us all. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Abdullah ibn Uthman, Qala akhbarana Abdullah, Qala akhbarana Sa'id ibn Abi Ayyub, and Yahya ibn Abi Sulaiman, and ibn Abi Attab, and Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خير بيت في المسلمين بيت فيه يتيم يحسن إليه خير بيت في المسلمين بيت فيه يتيم يحسن إليه وشر بيت في المسلمين بيت فيه يتيم يساء إليه وشر بيت في المسلمين بيت فيه يتيم يساء إليه أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة كهاتين يشير بإصبعيه عليه الصلاة والسلام. الإمام البخاري said حدثنا عبد الله بن عثمان. عبد الله بن عثمان is أبو عبد الرحمن الأزدي رحمه الله, from among the teachers of الإمام البخاري. He has a name by which he is very popular in الصحيح. That name is Abdan. We have one of our brothers, his kunya is Abu Abdan. Abdan means, of course, literally two slaves. But Abdan is the laqab of this Imam, Abdullah ibn Uthman al-Azdi. We have a brother, his kunya is Abu Abdan. He's the only person that I have known who has that kunya, Abu Abdan. So Abdan is one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And his name is Abdullah ibn Uthman al-Azdi. Abdullah ibn Uthman al-Azdi. He has a nickname. That nickname is what? Abdan. Rahimahullah. Qala akhbarana Abdullah. Al-Imam Abdan. He says akhbarana Abdullah. Abdullah huna is Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. Al-Imam. Rahimahullah Abu Abdurrahman. So Al-Imam ibn al-Mubarak said akhbarana سعيد بن أبي أيوب عن يحيى ابن أبي عن يحيى ابن أبي سليمان. يحيى ابن أبي سليمان has reported from سعيد ابن أبي أيوب, but يحيى ابن أبي سليمان is a weak reporter of hadith. He is reporting from أبي عتاب عن ابن أبي عتاب. ابن أبي عتاب is مولى أم المؤمنين Ramla binti Abi Sufyan. We know Ramla bintu Abi Sufyan, one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anha. Ramla bintu Abi Sufyan, that is the daughter of Abu Sufyan and the sister of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, Katibul Wahi. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan had a sister, her name was Ramla. She was the daughter of Abu Sufyan, and she was one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of our mothers. Her kunya is Ummu Habiba. radiallahu anha. This Rawi Ibn Abi Attab was her free slave. Ibn Abi Attab was the free slave of who? Ramla radiallahu anha. And Abi Huraira. Ibn Abi Attab is reporting this report, this hadith. From who? From Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this report, it says that Abu Huraira referred to the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam that he said, Khayru baytin fil muslimin, baytun fihi yateemun yuhsanu ilayh. خير بيت في المسلمين خير بيت في المسلمين. The best home, the best household, the best house. خير بيت في المسلمين, amongst the Muslims. Where is the best house of the Muslims? بيت فيه يتيم يحسن إليه. There are those homes فيه يتيم that have orphans or that has an orphan. Yuhsan ilayh, and that is well treated. The best of the homes of the Muslims. In case someone asks, where are the best of the homes of the Muslims? This means that as far as their Islam is concerned, all things being equal, the homes of the Muslim, that is that home that is established upon Islam, and the way and the lifestyle of the people of that home is the way and the lifestyle of Muslims, the lifestyle of Islam, the home where Salah is established, the home where the character and the models of Islam, people struggle to follow and be upon it. This kind of a home, take them to be many amongst the Muslims. Because the Prophet in this report was said to have described the house as the base is the base of the Muslims. Khayru baytin fil muslimin. The best of the households amongst the Muslims. He described them with Islam. So we are talking about the standard Muslim home. So you have standard Muslim homes, standard Muslim household, standard Muslim houses, where all the etiquettes of Islam people strive to follow and be upon them. If you take all these homes, which one is best amongst them? The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was reported to have said that it is what? Baytun fihi yateemun yuhsanu ilayhi. That is the home that has a yateem, the home that has an orphan, yuhsanu ilayhi, that is being treated kindly. Wa sharru baytin fil muslimin. And the worst of the homes, the worst household amongst the homes of the Muslims. So if we take it that the homes are all equal in terms of their Islam, everybody striving to be upon Islam, the worst of them is the home that has a yateem, yusa'u ilayh, that is being badly treated. The worst of the homes of the Muslims. If everything is good about your home, except the fact that you have a yateem you treat badly, it makes your home to be a bad home. May Allah protect us. We have seen and we have heard these kinds of things. Not even al-yatama, not even orphans. Some people have relatives living with them and they treat the relatives very badly. Why? He is not my son, he is not my daughter. Not to say that your children and the sons of friends and colleagues. When we were younger than this, children of friends and colleagues will stay in homes. But now it is just myself, my home, and my friends. Myself, my wife, my children, and then my friends. These are the things that we all care for and take care of now. But in the past, it used to be myself, my home, my aunt's son, my nephews, my cousins. This was what we grew upon. But in the name of Western and modern day civilization now, we have grown up to become so nuclear than the word nuclear itself. It's just about myself, my wife, my children, and that's all. No children, no orphans, no children of needy, no children of relatives. who can stay in your home and benefit as Muslims? Who can stay in your home and be guided rightly? We don't have this. Unfortunately, those who want to even do it, they become so bad. I know a woman who is vulgar with the children who stay with her. The only people she's not vulgar to when she talks to her own children, when she relates with her children, it is with full respect. We are coming back to that today, please, in the next chapter that we shall read. It is about how should we be to the yatim. Al-Imam al-Bukhari set a chapter heading. Kun lil yatim kal abir rahim. You should be like a compassionate father, a kind father to the yatim. But unfortunately, when people have relatives, not even yatim, children of relatives who live with you, the voice and tone with which you speak with these people is different from the voice and the tone with which you deal with your own children. I was talking about a woman that I know. She deals with her children like she is their children, or like she is their child, with full respect. But whenever she has to address the children of the rest of the people, it is with insult. Even to call them. Take, for example, a girl they ask Rashida. If she will say Rashida, Wambi, she will say Rashida, Benue Bobby. That is how she will refer to a girl. Bring your mouth here. Bring your head here. Bring your ear here. This is the kind of approach. If a woman will refer to someone living with her, the person's name, for example, is Rashida. Rashida, come. Rashida, please come to the... She won't say, if she was referring to her children, she can say, can you kindly please come? But when she refers to the children of the rest of the people, it is with this kind of vulgarity. This approach is bad. It is from the symbols of a bad home. That when the people who live, who depend on this home, yes, they are not essentially from the people of that home, but they are taken into that home. And so they become from the people of the home. Why do you treat them with this kind of vulgarity, with this kind of evil statement and evil expressions? This kind of a thing is bad and unbecoming of standard Muslim homes. So when you do like this, you are making your home to become one of the worst homes amongst the homes of the Muslims. Those who have even not taken care, who have even not brought in someone into the house to live with them, will stand in a better position than you. Because even though somebody stays in your home, eats your food, is under your guidance, you go on becoming very vulgar. Your vulgarity destroys the rewards for your deeds. We know what Allah told us about that in the Quran, about following up our sadaqat with al-adha. You follow your charity, you follow kindness with vulgar statements against those people to whom you are kind. It is worse than not even doing the charity at all. May Allah protect us from this evil. So in this hadith it says, وَشَرُّ بَيْتٍ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The worst homes amongst the homes of the Muslims is what بَيْتٌ فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُسَاءُ إِلَيْهِ. Are those homes that have yatim. They have masakin. They have people who are in need, especially orphans. But the evil about them is that yusa'u ilayhim. They are being treated. Evil is directed to them, whether in terms of speech or in terms of what? Actions. We know people who, when someone, even girls, your maids, they come under this category. We know how women treat their maids. They may have a maid who is in the age of their first daughter in the house. And they will treat this girl who has come to help them in the house like a rag or worse than that. Don't do that because you'll be destroying your reward. Yes, she's been brought from the village, as you would say. But don't forget that she's a Muslim like you. She's a human being like you. She deserves the best of respect, the most kind of speech. An expression that you will direct to your child, direct the same thing. The way you will guide your child, you should be ready to guide that person too and not become evil with respect to that person just because Allah has ordained that which is the less privileged that will be in your own house. What about if it were your own daughter who is the less privileged and has to go back to that house, to someone else's house? Will you be pleased that your own daughter is so treated? If you will not be pleased that your daughter is so badly treated, or that your son is so badly treated, why do you like to treat someone else's son or daughter like that? May Allah forgive all of us. So in this hadith, it says that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khayru baytin fil muslimin baytun fihi yatimun yuhsan ilayhi, wa sharru baytin fil muslimin baytun fihi yatimun yusa'u ilayhi. The best of the homes among the homes of the Muslims by standard, baytun fihi yatimun yuhsanu ilayhi. Those are the homes that have yatim, that have an orphan that is kindly treated and that is related with compassion. Wa sharru baytin fil muslimin. And the worst of the homes among the homes of the Muslims, baytun fihi yatimun yusa'u ilayhi. Those are the homes that have a yatim, that has the orphan that is badly treated. And then it ended in this statement that ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannati kahatain. Ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannati kahatain. I, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannati kahatain. Myself, it repeats again. We had seen it in the hadith of Murra al-Fihri, radiallahu anhu. We have seen it from the hadith of who? Sahal ibn Sa'ad al-Sa'idi, radiallahu anhumah. We are also seeing it from the hadith of who? Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, myself and the caregiver, the guardian of the yatim, the one who takes care of al-yatim, myself and the one who takes care of the yatim, fil jannati kahatain, we will be in al-jannah like these two, like the two fingers. And we mentioned those two fingers. Which fingers are those? The middle finger and what? And the first finger. And the reporter said, yushiru bi isba'ihi. The Prophet pointed, he made ishara. He illustrated with his two, he gesticulated, alayhi salatu wasalam, with his two fingers. That is, as we have read in the previous reports, that is the first finger and what? And the middle finger. The Prophet gesticulated by way of making sure that the matter is properly understood. In this report, we have a weak reporter, Yahya ibn Abi Sulaiman. And the chain of reports, Yahya ibn Abi Sulaiman is a weak reporter of hadith. But the general meaning in this hadith is correct. The general meaning of the hadith is correct. Because if you have a home, all of the homes being homes of Muslims, and you have a home A with orphans that are well treated, of course, that's a better home than home B, all things being equal. And if you have homes of the Muslims, you have home B or C having an orphan that is badly treated, definitely, that is evidence that that home is from the worst of the homes, because the rest of the homes don't have an orphan that is badly treated. So the meaning of this expression is correct, even though the chain of report is weak. But the aspect of it that says, ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannah, myself and the one who takes care of the yatim, we shall be in al-jannah. And then he gestured, alayhi salatu wasalam, kahatayn. In the reports we read yesterday, he says, kahadihi min hadihi, kahadihi min hadihi, just like this finger with respect to this second finger. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannah. We explained this hadith yesterday. So this part of the hadith is authentic, and it has come from other authentic reports, from other authentic quotes from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The first part of the hadith has a weak isnad, but we said that the meaning of that hadith is correct bismillah based on other reports in this hadith. Now, there's a general lesson in all of these hadiths. In the hadith of Murratu al-Zihri that we read yesterday, Ana wa kafilun yatimi fil jannati kahatain. In the hadith of Sa'al ibn Sa'ad al-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhuma, we also read, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ana wa kafilun yatim kahatain. Now, in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, we also read, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ana wa kafilun yatim kahatain. In all of these, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam showed his two fingers, the fourth finger and the middle finger, and he was gesticulating with them to make us see how close the two fingers are. And even though they are separate, they occupy different places on our palms, they are nearby themselves. We gave that illustration and explained it yesterday, the implication of that inside Al-Jannah. The point we want to draw from it today is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he talks to people, he has a fali that he will employ. When the Prophet teaches sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and explains to the people what he has been charged with, his duty is to explain this deen to us. He has approaches. Sometimes he would make it by his speech, by repeating the statement three times. For example, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ala tasma'un, ala tasma'un, ala tasma'un. He said, ala tasma'un, do you not hear? Do you not hear? Do you not hear? He raised his voice. And the people had to ask him, what do you refer to, O Messenger of Allah? And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أن البزازة من الإيمان. Do you not hear that البزازة, being simple, being easy in your affairs. When you dress easily. When you eat, be simple. In your dealings, be easy. When you speak, when you talk to the people, be easy. Whether you are speaking Arabic or English or whatever, be easy in your speech. When you dress, similarly, be easy. Taking things easy. Min al-Iman is from the issues of Iman. But the point of reference is that let us see how he started. He started by repeating Allah Tasma'un so that will drag the attention of the listeners. Sometimes he will ask them a question. Do you know so and so? Atadruna man al-Muflis? Do you know who is the Muflis? The one who has nothing. By that, the attention of the listener is drawn to the speaker. He has many ways of teaching. These are from the many asalib of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, which he employed when he taught the people. The other one that he would employ is he would touch the people. He can touch the person when he wants to make a speech. Sometimes he can call the person, Ya Muaz, inni uhibbuka fillah. Muaz, I love you for the sake of Allah. You see, Muaz wants to listen to what he will tell him afterwards. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has a salib alayhi salatu wa sallam that he would employ when he teaches the people. This is evidence that the teachers of Sunnah, you teaching people hadith, you too should try to imbibe these prophetic approach to teaching. When you teach, employ methods that will make your students understand what you are saying. When in the hadith of Dajjal, in the hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an, he said, "Kana yarfa'u sawtahu wa yakhfadahu." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will raise his voice and bring his voice down. Sometimes when he spoke about Dajjal, the voice will be raised, he will bring the voice up, he will bring the voice down. Of course, that is also from the asalib of teaching. Raising the voice, bringing the voice down. All of these are to be sure that the students or those who listen to the class can gain the best from that class. In this hadith, the approach to teaching that the Prophet employed, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the use of what? The two fingers. In other ahadith, he can connect between his fingers, the fingers of his hands. When he says al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'dahu ba'dahu fashabbaka asabi'ahu shabbaka, he made his fingers like a net, because he says the believer to the believer is like kal-bunyan, a structure, yashuddu ba'dahu ba'dahu, one part of that structure supports the other part, fashabbaka bayna asabi'ahu. So then he connected, making like a net, making his fingers like a net. He connected one finger into the other one from both hands, making like a net, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is one of the approach to teaching that is common in the books of hadith. One of the scholars has gathered all of these in a whole book, the asalib of the Prophet sallallahu, the asalib, the methodology the Prophet employed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he taught the fiqh. I think we can go back to it. It's a very, very good book about, especially those of us who are teachers, what are the methodology, the teaching methodology of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think we like to leave that hadith at this point. In hadith number 137, it says that khayru baytin fil muslimin baytun fihi yatimun yuhsan ilayh. The best of the homes amongst the homes of the Muslims is the home that has the yatim, that has an orphan, yuhsan ilayh, that is being treated in a nice manner, to whom niceness and compassion and goodness is extended. Wa sharru baytin fil muslimin, and the worst of the homes of the Muslims is what? Baytun fihi yatimun yusa'u ilayh, is a home that has an orphan that is badly treated. May Allah protect us. Then he says in this hadith that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ana wa kafilul yatim fil jannati kahate, myself and the one who pays attention and cares for the yatim kahatein will be like these two fingers. Alayhi salatu wa salam, yushiru bi isba'ayhi. When the Prophet said that, he pointed, he gave an illustration, he gave a gesture, alayhi salatu wa salam, with his two fingers, the middle finger and the first finger, the sababa and al-wusta, or the sabaha and al-wusta, alayhi salatu wa salam. I think that is sufficient regarding hadith number 137. We'll move to the next chapter, babun kun lil yatimi kal abir rahim. Kun lil yatim kal abir rahim. Kun lil yatim. If you have the print of Maktabati al-Hadi al-Muhammadi, Maktabatu al-Hadi al-Muhammadi, there's a typographic error. It says kunna lil yatim. It should be kun lil yatim. It is not kunna. It is kun lil yatim. I think that's a typographic error. Kun lil yatim. Be to the orphan, kal abdur rahim, like a compassionate father. He didn't say be like a father to the yatim. He said be like a man who treats his children with compassion. Kun lil yatim kal abdur rahim. Al abu ar rahim. Al abu rahim is the father who relates with his children with mercy. This means that it is not telling you be like a father, just like a father. Be a father to the yatim. No. Be like the compassionate father to the yatim. The compassionate father to his children. Be like that. Because some parents, some fathers are definitely not compassionate people to their children. Don't be that kind of a father. So he did not leave it open. Be a father to an orphan. No. Be a kind father. Be the way a father who is kind to his children. Be that kind of a father. Why? Because some fathers are not just kind. Some fathers are not merciful in their dealings. Some fathers are too tough. They are too coarse. They are nonchalant. Don't be this kind of a father to a yatim. Don't be that father in the basic place. Then don't behave like that to a yatim. Be a kind father, the other father who is kind in his dealings with his children. So much that even when he has to give them a discipline, he has to discipline them, he is disciplining them with kindness. Some parents, I know a father, when he disciplined his child, he tore the boy with razor. May Allah protect us. This is not discipline, this is violence. This boy did not change. He's a drug addict now. He fell out of school. Why? The father was too tough against him. May Allah protect all of us. So be the kind father, even to your children. Be a kind father. Be a merciful father. Be a compassionate father. And all of these will reflect even when you have to discipline that child. Let it reflect your kindness. Let it reflect your mercy. So be this kind of a father to an orphan. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, kun lil yatim kal abdir rahim. Kun lil yatim. I always say this, if the Muslims behave as we should behave as Muslims, if the Muslims follow the guidelines of Islam and the lines of conduct that we have been taught in Islam, we will not need a child law, a laws that protect the child, as we say in our modern day society. We want child rights bill. You will not need it. All of that is in the entire package of Islam. Be a kind father to your children. Be a kind man to those under you. Be kind towards them. Show them kindness. Show them mercy. May Allah protect all of us. This has come under the report number 138 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا عمرو بن عباس قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن قال حدثنا سفيان عن أبي إسحاق قال سمعت عبد الرحمن ابن أبزة قال داود كن لليتيم. If you have the print of مكتبة الهدي المحمدي, the same error in the chapter heading occurs here. It says كن لليتيم. It is كن لليتيم. There's a typographic error there. If you have the copy of Maktabatul Huda al-Muhammadi, it says Kunna lil yatim. It's an error. It is Kun lil yatim. Samitu Abdul Rahman ibn Abza qala Dawood Kun lil yatim kal abir rahim. Kun lil yatim kal abir rahim. Wa'alam annaka kama tazra'u kadhalika tahsudu. Wa'alam annaka كما تزرع كذلك تحصد ما أقبح الفقر بعد الغنى وأكثر من ذلك أو أقبح من ذلك الضلالة بعد الهدى سلامة. وإذا وعدت صاحبك فأنجز له ما وعدته فإن لا تفعل يورث بينك وبينه عداوة وتعوذ بالله. Also, in this copy of Maktabatu al-Hadi al-Muhammadi, it says, يُورِثُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. It is يُورِثُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً عَلَى الْمَفْعُولِيَّةِ وَتَعَوَّثْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ صَاحِبٍ إِنْ ذَكَرْتَ لَمْ يُعِنْكَ وَإِنْ نَسِيتَ لَمْ يُذَكِّرْكَ. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his Sheikh Amr ibn Abbas, Abu Uthman. Amr ibn Abbas, he is Abu Uthman al-Basri, who said, حَدَّثَنَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Abdul Rahman here is Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, rahimahullah, a great scholar of hadith. قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا Sufyan. Sufyan here may be referring to Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. It may also be referring to Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, because Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi was a student of the both of them, and they are both from amongst the great scholars of Islam. So he only said, حَدَّثَنَا Sufyan. We wouldn't know which of them exactly it was. Maybe Sufyan al-Thawri or Sufyan ibn Uyayna. We would need a further research to verify, but either of them that it may be, they are both from amongst the scholars who are reliable reporters. So not knowing which of them specifically here right now, it does not disturb the authenticity of that report. Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi was an imam. Sufyan al-Thawri was an imam. Sufyan ibn Uyayna al-Hilali was an imam. They are reporting from Abu Ishaq. Abu Ishaq was an imam. Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri. He is Amr ibn Abdullah al-Sabiri. Abu Ishaq is Amr ibn Abdullah al-Sabiri. He was gifted with children who all became scholars. The child of his child, Isa and Israel. They were both from among the scholars of hadith. These are from the children of al-Imam Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri. Amr ibn Abdullah al-Sabiri. He said, سمعت عبد الرحمن ابن أبزة Abdul Rahman ibn Abza is the companion of this statement. He's the one who made this statement amongst the companions. Abdullah ibn Abza. Abdullah ibn Abza, radiallahu anhu, was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was from amongst the scholars. He was from amongst the fuqaha and qurra, amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It used to be reported that Umar radiallahu anhu would say that Ibn Abza mimman rafa'ahu Allahu bil Quran. Umar radiallahu anhu used to speak about this companion, that Ibn Abza, referring to Abdurrahman ibn Abza, that Abdurrahman ibn Abza mimman rafa'ahu Allahu bil Quran. He is from amongst the people that Allah has raised their status and rank because of the Quran. You know, the Prophet had told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna Allah la yarufa'u bihadha al-kitabi aqwaman. Allah would raise some people with this book. So Umar was reported to have said that from amongst those that Allah has raised their status because of this book, Al-Quran, was who? Abdurrahman ibn Abza. So what we want to read now is a statement from the great scholar of Islam from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was named what? Abdurrahman ibn Abza radiyallahu anhu. He said, Qala Dawood. Abdurrahman ibn Abza. He said, Qala Dawood, referring to Dawood alayhi salam. He said, Dawood alayhi salam said these words. Let us listen to them, and they are full of wisdom for us. He said, Dawood said, Kun lil yatimi kal abir rahim. Kun lil yatim kal abir rahim. Be like the kind father to the yatim. Be like the kind father to the yatim. That is, be a kind person to the yatim. Like you as a father would be kind to your children. Be kind to the yatim. Don't treat your children with kindness and you treat the yatim with coarseness. This is not good. Be the kind man to the yatim. And it is from this expression that the chapter heading was taken. Kun lil yatimi kal abir rahim. Al-Abur Rahim is the father who is kind towards his children. He is compassionate with his children. He is good in his dealings with his children. Be this kind of a father. Don't just be a father to the yatim. Be the kind father to the yatim. He says, Wa'alam annaka kama tazrahu kazalika tahsud. Wa'alam annaka. You should recognize this fact. That kama tazra'u kazalika tahsud. Kama tazra'u. The way you plant, as you plant, kazalika tahsud. That is how you will harvest. What you plant, how you plant, is how you will harvest. What you plant is what you will harvest. If you plant goodness, you will definitely harvest goodness. But if you plant evil, don't think that evil will grow goodness. Your evil that you have planted will not grow any other than that evil you have planted. We remember the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about a hadith Qudsi, in which the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Innama hiya a'malukum uhsiha lakum. ثم أوفيكم إياها فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. The Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام that Allah said إنما هي أعمالكم. One of the scholars said that this statement will come on the day of Qiyamah. إنما هي is just all about your deeds. أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ I am gathering it for you. It is what you do. It is what you plant now in this dunya. Allah gathers it for us. أُحْصِيهَا I'm putting them together for you. لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّا Subsequently, later on, I'll reward you with these things that you have gathered for yourself. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا Anybody who finds goodness with Allah on the day of Qiyamah, فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ Let him thank Allah that he gained guidance, that Allah helped him to gain guidance. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ But anyone who finds other than that, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسًا Let him not blame anyone but himself. Why? He is only sowing what he is only reaping what he had sowed. So it says, كَمَا تَزْرَعُ كَذَلِكَ تَحْصُدُ So just like we are talking about the yatama, the way you will want your children to be treated, if perhaps you have to leave this dunya, and you will be leaving children behind who will be young at that time, you look for one orphan, look for two orphans, and treat them well, so that when you leave, your children will be so treated too. What if you treat people badly? You will not get any other than what you have done. May Allah protect all of us. So وَعَلَمْ أَنَّكَ كَمَا تَزْرَعُ كَذَلِكَ تَحْصُدُ Then it says in this statement, مَا أَقْبَحَ الْفَقْرَ بَعْدَ الْغِنَى How so bad. It is so bad. It is so worrisome that الْفَقْرُ comes for an individual after الْغِنَى. That a person becomes poor after he had been rich. Isn't that so bad a thing? We all know that. Every right-thinking person knows that. It's a very, very bad thing. It's a very, very, very obnoxious. No heart, no mind likes it. You had enjoyed three meals during the day. And each of the meals will come with dessert, will come with fruits, will come with everything. Full meal. As they say. And then things change and change and change and change and change and change. And the individual finds it hard to take three meals. He finds it hard to take two meals. He finds it hard to take a meal. May Allah protect us from this ton of events. It has happened and it is happening to people. Some of the people we ride in the best of cars today. Tomorrow they will sell those cars to be able to feed. We have seen things and people like this. May Allah protect all of us. So it says, مَا أَكْبَحَ الْفَقْرَ بَعْدَ الْغِنَى How so difficult it is الْفَقْرُ بَعْدَ الْغِنَى that a person turns to become poor after he had been rich. This is a statement that we all understand. But it is not just made here. It is coming towards something. So it says, وَأَكْثَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكِ Worse in that, in its evil. أَوْ أَكْبَحُ مِنْ ذَلِكِ Or worse in that, in its badness, is الدَّلَالَةُ بَعْدَ الْهُدَى Worse than that, a person becomes poor after he had been rich. Worse than that is الدَّلَالَةُ بَعْدَ الْهُدَى That a person turns to become misguided after he was upon guidance. We all recognize how bad it could be that a person turns to be poor after he had been rich. But there is something worse than that. What is worse than that is that the individual was upon the sunnah. He was upon guidance. He was upon seeking knowledge. He was upon learning the Quran. He was upon teaching the Quran. He was upon teaching the Sunnah. He was upon the Sunnah himself, making efforts every day and night to learn, to read, to teach, to talk about the Sunnah, to practice the Sunnah, to guide the people upon the Sunnah, to be sure that his house is established upon Islam and goodness. May Allah protect all of us. Then he turns to follow his desires and becomes misguided. So much so that when he sees the people upon the Sunnah and Islam, he runs away because he is shy to identify with them, even though from the very beginning he was amongst them. This one is worse than poverty after richness. If we understand, just like a sister who had upped her being, I always tell the people, see a sister, she was upon a smaller hijab, because hijab for us in most of the time, it's usually an index to know how a person is growing. Because when a woman grows, she recognizes how the need she has to cover up herself. In Islam, a major basis for the deen of a woman is as-satr, covering up yourself. So when a woman begins to gradually realize herself, she begins to preserve herself and cover herself and disconnect herself from relating with men. The more she grows in that, that is the reason why the hijabs begin to get bigger and bigger. I mean, she does not want to get exposed in any way. She grows and then she begins to wear the niqab and all of that. All of a sudden, events begin to turn, and then she gradually begins to come down. I know people like this. May Allah protect all of us. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Those who have had this kind of a fitna, may Allah return them to that which is best for them. I think we can stop that aspect at that. That a person comes to become misguided after he falls upon misguidance. It is worse than a person being upon poverty, a person being upon richness and then returning to poverty. It says, وَإِذَا وَعَدْتَ صَحِبَكَ فَأَنْجِزْ لَهُ. If you promise your friend something, fulfill your promise to him. Fulfill your promise to him. مَا وَعَدْتَهُ. Fulfill what you promised to him. فَإِلَّا تَفْعَلْ. If you would not do that, يُورِثُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً. If you promise your friend and you would not fulfill those promises, it will bring between the two of you hatred. It will engender hatred. It will bring about hatred between you. If you promise your friend, my friend, I will give you this. My friend, I will do this to you. My friend, I will meet you in so-so place at so-so time. فَأَنْجِزْ لَهُ. Fulfill the promise. Otherwise, يُورِثُ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً. If you don't do that, it will bring about hatred between the two of you. The last advice he gave from Dawood, he says, وَتَعَوَّذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ صَاحِبٍ. Seek refuge with Allah regarding a friend, regarding a colleague. إِنْ ذَكَرْتَ لَمْ يُعِنْكَ. If you gain consciousness regarding Allah, لَمْ يُعِنْكَ, he will not help you. When you became conscious of your duties towards Allah, لَمْ يُعِنْكَ, he will not help you. وَإِنْ نَسِيتَ لَمْ يُذَكِّرْكَ. And if you become forgetful of your duties towards Allah, لَمْ يُذَكِّرْكَ, he does not remind you. Seek refuge with Allah against this kind of a friend. The friend who, when you are conscious, when your mind goes up, your iman rises, you like to do things for Allah and all of these, لَمْ يُعِنْكَ, he will not help you. Because in fact, perhaps he doesn't even want you to be like that. وَإِذَا نَسِيتَ. And when you become forgetful of your duties towards Allah, لَمْ يُذَكِّرْكَ, he will not remember you. He will not remind you and give you words of remembrance. But the point of reference for us in this hadith, why Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has cited this hadith under this chapter heading, is what he brought and said, Kun lil yatim kal abdur rahim. Be the compassionate and kind father to the yatim. Be like that to the yatim. So be a kind father to your children. That kindness with which you relate with your children, show it to the yatim too. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be kind to each and every one of us. There are a lot of lessons in this hadith. I wish that we had some more time, we would have stretched the hadith a little bit. But it is full of a lot of lessons. And it was from the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdurrahman ibn Abzah, radiyallahu anhu. I think we can stop here and take one or two questions, although we had already spent and gone beyond our 1 hour limit. I just wanted us to complete that hadith today. Inshallah, we'll continue from here. And in our subsequent classes, in the weekend before Dhul Hijjah, will mention the manners of relating with ourselves. How do we, what are the manners connected to the month of Dhul-Hijjah? Inshallah, we'll mention this in the class before the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah, bi-iznillah. But in our subsequent classes, we'll continue from hadith number 139. After the discussions about al-yateem, the next are about women who have as-saqtu. What is as-saqtu? Premature deliveries. Are there rewards for them? A woman was pregnant 3, 4, 5 months, and then the child comes out of her womb. What is the reward for these kinds of women in Islam? These are the next group of narrations that we shall read, inshallah, in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam al-Bukhari. Today, inshallah, if we have one or two questions, we can take them very, very briefly before we call it a day, inshallah.
Amen. This says, for someone taking care of children of a man that failed to do his responsibility due to divorce, can he gain the reward of raising an orphan?
Most times, there are two issues in this question. With the woman says the man is failing in his responsibility because of divorce, and then the woman is the one taking care of the children. Will that woman have that reward of the individual who takes care of an orphan? Of course, you will get the reward of taking care of his kin. And some of these ahadiths have come with that expression. A woman takes care of her child that is in need. She will get the rewards. Like the other woman who came to Aisha, radiallahu anha, and begged Aisha for food or for whatever. Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, did not have anything to provide except a single date cook. That woman broke the dates into two and gave it to the two children. That hadith is general. It was not specific about orphans alone. She gave it to her needy children. So if the woman struggles to take care of her child, and that was why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that those children will be a means of protection for her against the fire. A woman who has a child that has been abandoned by the father because of divorce, this one happens in two ways. One way is that at the beginning of the divorce, that woman would have run away with the child by way of punishing the man because he divorced her. Some women do this. When their husbands divorce them, they want to punish the man. They don't want him to see that child. So they punish him and take the child away. And now when the man becomes patient for not seeing his own child for a long time, and then faces his business as if he had never had a child, they begin to accuse him of irresponsibility. If you are a woman who does this kind of a thing, stop it, because it is a sin. Don't prevent a man access to his child. And at the end of the day, you say he is irresponsible. You can't run away with the child and expect that the man will be spending money upon a child that you have run away with. Now, when you present the story to the rest of the people who do not know the backgrounds, you tell them that the man is irresponsible. You are vexing the anger of his divorcing you against him by punishing him with his child. If this is what you mean by the man is irresponsible, I think the irresponsibility started with the woman. May Allah protect us. So don't do this with a man. Now, there are some men who are actually irresponsible. When they divorce the woman, they become irresponsible towards the child that woman is carrying. This is very blameworthy. And those kind of men can be reported to authorities, because not caring for the child is serious irresponsibility that is detested in Islam. This child has been given birth to, for you, it's your child. So you have a duty towards the child, even though you have a quarrel, even though you have divorced your mother. The child has a right over you as a father to care for this child. So some men are actually irresponsible. When a woman now takes care of this kind of a child, then that woman will come under this hadith. If she takes care of that child, kana laha sitran min an-nar. That child that she's taking care of will be a means of protection for her against the fire. I hope that this question is clearly answered, inshallah. Amin wa antuma ba Yusuf.
Can post-fame be achieved if the milk is expressed in a bowl for the boy to drink, or it has to be from the direct source to be considered as post-fame?
For what? The question is not clear.
Can post-fame be achieved if the milk is expressed in a bottle for the boy to drink, or it has to be from the direct source to be considered as post-fame?
Like we mentioned yesterday, the issue of post-fame is a very wide issue, especially the approach, the area where we are looking at it from. If it is before the child is weaned, you have a child that is still breastfeeding, the father passes away, and that child, that boy, was brought to your own house. You can breastfeed that boy directly. You can breastfeed the boy directly, and that's best for the boy. Breastfeed him directly. You will be feeling the mother when you breastfeed that boy directly. When he grows up to become anything, you will see him like your son. It has a spiritual connection between yourself and him. That is for a boy that is under weaning, that is below weaning, that is still breastfeeding. But for someone who is a bit above that, it is not just an open thing that we can do anyhow. It is something that has a lot of restrictions. I mentioned yesterday that it's a very, very big issue and wide issue. Most of the time, this issue would come when we have only 1 or 2 minutes to go away. If the boy, the orphan, has gone away, has been weaned, and he has to be breastfed, it has to be in a situation where there is a strong need for that. Yes, this boy, there is a need for us to keep him in the house. The woman is in regular need of him in terms of what she will do with him, in terms of his care and attention and all of these. So when this need is very severe, that is when these kinds of things are allowed, even amongst those scholars who have mentioned Rodo Atul Kabir. Otherwise, we mentioned yesterday that the large majority of the ulama are upon the fact that after winning, there is no Rodo again. Now, if you have to give the breast milk to the one who is a bit matured, who is after weaning, after who is not on still breastfeeding, after weaning, it can be collected in a container and given to him. Even though there are people like Ibn Hazmi who say that if he drinks it directly, he feels motherhood. But I think the easier thing for a woman is that she can collect it in a container and provide them to drink. Allahu alam. I think we can stop here, Abu Yusuf, regarding these issues. Amin wa antum fa jazakumullahu khair.
Can you hear me, sir?
Now, I can hear you now.
If the yatim is a neighbor and we treat him nice and nice each time, if send to the family, do we get the same reward the yatim?
Yes. If the yatim is your neighbor, you have two rewards. You have the reward of kindness to a neighbor. You also have the rewards of kindness to yatim. You get the rewards, bismillah.
In a situation whereby the orphan child was not properly trained for the family, someone has to shout out before the orphan child to fit into the way you want it, and that is the way you train our own child. Is that okay?
The question is not clear. The line was breaking, Abu Yusuf.
In a situation whereby the orphan child was not properly trained before joining the family, and want to shout and nudge before the orphan child to fit into the way we want it, and that is the way we train our child to, our children to. Is there anything wrong in that?
What would you do first?
He said we shout and nag before the child, the orphan.
Shout and nag.
No.
Does that, is that a way of disciplining? Well, if shouting sometimes, yelling and all of this, I don't know how that brings about good nurturing and education. It may not be the best thing to do, but if it is, if it shows to be clear, a clear means of rectifying the child sometimes to make him see things in the right perspective, and has helped the child and has not in the other way implanted some sort of a hatred for that child, it may be necessary, because we'll be coming to the aspects of even having to flog the child sometimes. There are reports from the early Muslims that you should, we'll come back to it in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, in the next 2-3 hadith. Yes, we'll be coming to the hadith where it says, if the child requires to be flogged, flog him the way you flog your own son. It's here in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. If a child, if the orphan requires to be flogged, flog him the way you flog your son. And we had said that you are a father that is compassionate. When you flog your child, you flog him with compassion. When you flog your child, you flog him with compassion. So that means when you flog your orphan, you flog him with compassion. Our mother, Aisha, we read it in this book. She used to flog orphans who stayed with her, radiallahu anha, by way of disciplining them. She used to flog people, those children. We will come back to it in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So if, from what we need to do sometimes to do to the orphan to get them upright, is this kind of description that you have made. There's no blame, inshallah, regarding that. I hope that it is clear, Abba Yusuf.
Okay.
I mean, we can stop here. We can.
Ma'am.
Can we stop here today? I think we, the time is already fast spent.
Yes, well, we have a request.
Okay, what is it, Abba Yusuf?
Please help me ask our teacher and listeners to make dua for me and my wife to be blessed with pious children. It's over 6 years now. Jazakumullahu khairan.
May Allah bless this couple with good and blessed children, out of His mercy and out of His favor upon His servants. May Allah bless them with children that will be Quratu al-Ayuni for them. May Allah also bless the rest of our children and make them children that we will see and be glad in this dunya and al-akhirah. Subhanaka Allahumma alhamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu
khairan.